So my entry into so my call is you know, for the church, for the next generation, and you know, God calling me to kind of, you know, be participate in it, but also teach about it, right, and engage with that next generation. Your mentoring is also a big part of my own life, you know, as a Christian. It's part of, I like to call it, part of my own discipleship, you know, my part of my, what Christ requires me to do, which is to, you know, to keep me learning more about him as I walk the journey with others who I am. So, but back in the day, my dad, at the time, you know, when they started, when they were writing, you know, he finished his PhD in the early 80s, and, you know, there are no places to publish. And, you know, people, obviously, you know, publishers in the West wanted to publish their own material. And there were no publishers here. And you know, theological publishing, very small niche. So I'm not exactly sure how it came about, but he said, you know, why don't we do it ourselves? I think he traveled and he saw, you know, desktop publishing is happening now with a computer. You don't have to have, you know, those days you cut the, you know, the typesetting was actually typesetting where you put the things, you know, so that you can print. There was now technology that you could use, and you could typeset your whole thing on the computer and do that. So after one of his exchange guest lectureships, you know, he came back with a computer and he said, okay, this is what we're going to use to publish, and we're going to publish books. And at the time I finished high school, say, okay, you wanted to learn computers. Okay, you learned computers. Okay, come, let's do this thing together. So so I learned how to do desktop publishing. And so that's how I entered into it very early. And so it kind of, you know, grew into me. And so the technical side of it is very, very easy for me, because I just started so early. I mean, there were computers in high school, but now this was like the most sophisticated thing I'd ever seen. You know, it had, you know, it was not DOS prompt. This thing had, it was what we see. What you see is what you get. You know, you could typeset something and then print it, and it's exactly the same. Wow, you know, so actually, this is one of the first books that we did. Yes, so I designed this cover on that machine. Oh man, it was this was 1992, I think. Yeah, 1992.
Out of high school.
Yeah, but now we're able to make it available in West Africa. Yeah, I mean, the cover design is a little different. It's a little more modern here. Yeah. So that's how the two passions. And going forward, you know, ATNP is going to grow. I think it's going to grow way beyond, you know, my input. I see ATNP, you know, having offices all over, you know, the continent, you know, at least, you know, 5 hubs, maybe 10 years from now. And, you know, a more sophisticated back office and infrastructure. But I think we've started, and I think what would give me most joy is for ATNP to inspire a movement of people thinking together about publishing, whether it is academic theological publishing, whether it is discipleship material publishing, whether it is, you know, sermons, the writing of sermons, whether it is, you know, just different things, that people begin to think together and say, you know, now it's not about me publishing in my own corner. It's about us doing something together and making it work. Publishing doesn't have a lot of money. At least not in the conventional sense. Now, of course, if you're doing textbooks, yes, you know, it is more than sustains itself. But I think what is going to be most important is the legacy that we will leave at a time when God has blessed the continent to be the leader, to be the one that is, you know, coming out there at the front in the Christian faith and challenging the others. And this may happen for 100 years, 200 years, maybe 1,000 years like Europe, but it will be forever if Jesus does not come yet. I sense the next big thing that would happen, maybe 300 years from now, 400 years from now, I don't know, maybe sooner, will be China. Because the change, the thing that will, kind of change the thing, we're like in 313 AD all over again. I feel like that's where we are. You know, China is like a superpower and, you know, there's all of that and, you know, Christians are persecuted there. And maybe when something changes over there, it might just be a change of leadership, maybe a gradual one or a sudden one. Then the next big thing will be China, because I think a fifth of the world's population live in China. Once there's no more persecution there, then, you know, we might, my great, 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 great grandson might be saying there are more Christians in China than there are in Africa. I don't know, or India for that matter. But this is our time now. This is our time now. And we have a huge responsibility. And I want to be part of the solution. I'm writing, I'm teaching. If I'm given any space to teach, wherever on this planet, I'll go and talk about the things that I'm talking about here, because I have a responsibility, just like, you know, our forefathers, Athanasius, Tertullian, Origen, you know, distinguished Africans who made their contribution at that time. And, you know, we are their progeny. We need to do that in this season. And when our time is up, we'll be able to say we are faithful. And like it says in Acts 13, you know, like David, you know, we serve our generation in our time, and then we move on, and then others will pick it up.